Blog Talk Radio.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best as ever been." "Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. Johnny said, "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Ready to dog fight, no child, no." The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, I'm picking out dough. Ready when you don't fight, no child, no."
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to Imploding the Illusion. I'm your host, Raquel Okiai. Tonight, we're talking about liberalism, a primary threat to freedom. And my special guest is journalist Gary Binford. Gary Binford was a longtime sports writer for two very popular New York newspapers. They're actually in worldwide circulation, Newsday and The Daily News. And he did that for a period of time. And we spoke this morning for quite a bit, and my impression is that he had a religious conversion, a Christian conversion to the Republican Party. So he's a black man living in New York, accustomed to joining the Democrat Party. But nowadays, oh boy, Gary's got a lot to say about the Democrat Party, and they're leading us into a socialist, communist country, which is what we don't want. So we're going to talk a lot about that. We are doing a 90-minute program. We are live. If you are listening online and you have a question or comment for the guest, please call in. And the number is 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. We appreciate all of your calls. This is a Win World Integrity News Network production. So we already have a few people on the line. Gary, could you do me a favor? I'm working by myself tonight. If you could press one, I know it's you. I think I know who's you. Okay. Okay, perfect. And I do see we have a caller already, and if you just bear with me for a couple of minutes, let my guest come on, and I'll bring you on as soon as possible. So hang in there. I appreciate your call. Okay. You are now live. Hi, Gary. How's it going tonight?
Hello, Raquel. How are you? You doing all right? Thank you for having me on, and I really appreciate it. It's really a humbling experience to be able to do something like this, to think I can actually have a voice. But everybody can have a voice, and I want to thank you for giving me one and giving me this opportunity. And I want to say one thing before we start about your song. That fiddle, everybody has that fiddle. Pick that fiddle up. If you can't play it, beat the devil in the back of the head with it, because if you're a conservative, you have truth on your side. If you're not a liberal, if you're not a socialist, Marxist, progressive, communist, they're all the same. They're under the form of collectivism. They're just different flavors of the same rotten fruit. If you're not one of those, pick up your fiddle, and if you can't play it like that guy did to the devil, take it and beat him in the back of the head with it, because we have truth. They have a lie. And they cannot win.
Hey, that's the truth. I agree with you 100%. And I do love that song, and I've been playing it as my intro song for a very long time, so thanks for noticing. So we got a lot to talk about, Gary. And the first thing I want to do is just go into some current events issue, and later on I want you to talk about, at the bottom of the hour, I want you to talk about how you got started with your group, which has 12,000 followers on Facebook, which is a lot. Nation Savers 2018, top of the hour, which would be 10 p.m. Eastern, we're going to do another 30 minutes, and that's going to be strictly on your take on socialism and communism. And I gathered from our conversation this morning, Gary, it's one of your specialties. So I really want you to give my listeners a short education on it at the last segment. So I want you all to stick around, sit back, put us on speaker, and let's go. First thing I want to ask you, Gary, is what is your position in the 2020 election? Are you supporting Donald Trump, and why? And my second question is, what is it about the Democrat Party right now? So they're in this mode to just, you know, impeach the president. They're trying to get the president out through, like, you know, unelectable means. So we elected the president, and I think the Democrats don't like it, and I think they're doing everything possible right now to just dismantle the office of the president. I don't think they're going to win. But, you know, that's my position. So I'm very interested in knowing, what is your take on 2020 election, and do you think that the Republicans can take over the House as well?
Okay. We have to talk about 2020, we have to go back to 2016, and this will tell you why I really truly believe Donald Trump will win again, and we're going to make sure he wins. Everybody, picture two words, the word this and the word close in a newspaper with a space in between. Move that space out. That's how close we came in 2016 to losing this nation. If Hillary Clinton had become the president of the United States, she would have been able to further increase and improve upon, as the left would see it, we would call it destroying the country, she would have been able to take Barack Obama's policies, the socialist Marxist policies, through the roof. Gorsuch would not be a judge. Kavanaugh would not be a judge. Ruth Ginsburg probably would have retired. Okay, that's three judges she could have put in. They would have had, the liberals would have had their liberal, Woodstock-like, wacko, left-wing, Marxist, socialist, communist judges, whatever you want to call them, because that's what their agenda is. They would have had everything in place through the Supreme Court, which would allow them to rubber stamp anything that comes along. The Johnson Amendment, you ought to silence Christian and conservative talk radio, done. In God We Trust, take it off the money. We would have fought it. The Democrats have been trying to get that in the pledge and got out of the pledge for years. Through the courts, done. All the Marxism going through the schools and universities, everything he's done around the country, around the world, talking about Barack Obama, globalism, Global warming, global cooling, climate change, whatever you call it, it's a big hoax. Everything he was trying to make us a smaller country, just one of many, just to try and fit in with the world, giving control to the United Nations to run our policies and determine when we go into war and what countries we go into, all of these things that he had put into place. You know about Iran, the deal with Iran, the things going on with China, everything. You know, remember Putin, tell Vlad I'll have more leeway after the next election. All this stuff.
Yes, that was a Barack Obama.
Off
the mic. You know, he thought he was off the mic, for the listeners who don't know about this.
Everybody saw that. Everybody saw it. On a hot mic, he's telling Putin's guy, tell Vlad I'll have more leeway after the next election. And that's not collusion?
Exactly.
That's not collusion. Yeah. See, so the point I'm trying to make is she would have just taken his policies and put them on steroids, and this country would have been over as we knew it. It would have been well on its way to becoming a socialist nation, and that's why the left is going bonkers over Donald Trump, because not only did he come in as an outsider, which means neither the left nor the right can control him. That means he's not beholden to the establishment. He's not beholden to the rhinos, you know, the Republicans in name only. He's certainly not beholden to the Democrats. He understands socialism. He understands what's going on, and he's unmantling piece by piece. He's putting his judges in. He's putting his platforms in, and they have to get him out here because they realize everything, and we'll talk about this in the last hour, everything the communists, Marxists, socialists, whatever you want to call them, everything they had put in place that's taken them 70 years to get to this point, they were right there. They were that close. They could smell it. And his election put the kibosh on it, so they've got to get him out of there before he gets another 4 years, and it really could set them back 30 years. Hopefully, we hope it sets them back forever. Which is why
I think it was a big savior. You know, it was a big save for us, for the American country. And you hit on a lot of good points. And I think a lot of us were very dubious about the competency of Hillary Clinton, and that includes Democrats. So I think you make a very valid point. Now, if you ask a Democrat, however, why did Trump win? What was it about Trump? If you ask me, I would say, you know, million and one things. It wasn't just an anti-Hillary vote, but it was also an anti-establishment vote. It was somebody outside of the political maneuvering that we see going on all the time, you know, just as you mentioned. And I think the American people went out and voted for him, okay, in 2016. Now, what the Democrats will say is, well, you all were just tricked. Don't you see how offensive Trump is? Haven't you heard him talk? Don't you think that's, you know, undermining the presidency, potentially cover up, and I'm playing devil's advocate. What would your answer be to a liberal that says, hey, you know, I just don't like his demeanor. How do you not see it? We just don't like him, and we think you guys were all tricked. We think you are hoaxed by a guy who knows how to trick people, and also potentially the Russians were also doing all of this social media, Russian bots trying to convince the electorate, pushing the electorate towards Trump. Is there any validity in what they say?
No. And now you asked me a question that I'm going to answer the question about 2020 now. I'm glad you segued there, because I said why he won, why they went nuts in 2016. What this has done, because of his demeanor, because that he fights back when we never do. The right never fights back. You know, the left is like a bully. They're like Mike Tyson when he was champion, and a lot of other boxers that were champion. In no way am I trying to disparage Mike Tyson, but he had people defeated before he stepped in the ring. I remember watching the fight against him and Michael Spinks, and Michael Spinks almost fainted when he got in the ring. This was a guy that grew up in East St. Louis in a tough neighborhood. He got in the ring across from Michael Tyson, and you could see fear in his eyes, and he found a soft place to land within 2 minutes. What is happening is they have bullied us. Whatever they do, we always cave. Okay, we'll shut down the government. You shut down the government, they call your names. Okay, we won't. We always give in. Donald Trump is a fighter. He's a battler. And he is taking on the unholy trio, liberalism, political correctness, and the disingenuous mainstream media. He tweets. He says what he means. He is not politically correct. And they can't stand it. And the good news about this is it's led to their exposure because he has them so incensed, they're showing who they are. They're showing you what their policies are. They're coming out, and whatever he says, they go the opposite. You know a lot of Democrats want border security. You would think a lot of Democrats would want to know who's coming across the border because if illegal immigrants could come across, so could terrorists, so could people with diseases and things that we don't may not even have a vaccination for, plus criminals. You could have all kinds of things coming across, but they are willing to sacrifice the freedom and liberty of this country to bring this man down. So whatever he says, they go the opposite. He just did some great things for prison reform. They won't give him credit for that. They won't give him a win for anything. So what they do, whatever he says, they go the opposite. He says America greatness, America nationalism. He's not talking about some type of racist nationalism. He's talking about America standing on its Constitution. Our Constitution is for us and us alone. It's not for England. It's not for France. It's not for Africa. It's not for Spain. It's for us alone. And that's what made us the greatest country in the world, because we had a constitutional republic. We were a nation of laws, not a democracy that would be run by majority rule, because when you have the majority, you may like it, but if you don't, you can be in trouble. So everything he says, if you notice, he says, I want to lower taxes to build the economy up. So he does it. We have a booming economy, and what do they say? All of them, everybody running, we're going to take away the Trump's tax cuts. So whatever he does, he wants to build a wall, they want open borders. It doesn't matter what it is. His lack of what they would call presidency has incensed them to the point they're showing us who they exactly who they are. About the House, I was so upset, Raquel. I was so upset because we were down. I was on the radio for hours telling people we can't lose the House. There's a good side. There's a flip side to this. Because the Democrats got in and won the House, and Pelosi and these radicals are running things, if they weren't in control, we wouldn't know how bad their policies are. They wouldn't have the Green New Deal. They wouldn't have, well, I call it the Green Puke Deal. They wouldn't have this infanticide thing. They wouldn't have their climate control. All, you know, their open borders, their sanctuary cities, everything you see them pushing now, they wouldn't have been able to do that if we had the Republicans still had the House and the Senate. They would be laying in the weeds waiting for an opportunity to get one of the houses back before they could forge ahead with their agenda. Because they got in control, we're seeing how bad they are. And in comparison to what he is offering compared to what they are now openly offering, I think that will propel him to the victory in 2020.
Yeah, I totally think they look cuckoo. Nancy Pelosi in particular, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, it's due time, you know, maybe that she should retire. But, you know, like, she just doesn't look well. She's not articulating anything. It's only about Trump. I think that the wall issue is really simple. Build it because I want to keep my border safe, you know, just like I keep my house safe with a fence, or I might keep my house safe by arming myself. I might keep my house safe by getting a German Shepherd or something to that nature. But in any event, I have that prerogative, you know, to protect my home and my property. And we have that prerogative as American citizens. And I want to talk about that a little later. But I do want to bring in some of the callers because we have a couple already on. So just want to remind everyone you're listening to Imploding the Illusion. I'm your host, Raquel Occhiai. My special guest tonight is Gary Binford. If you're listening online and you have a question or comment for the guest, please call in at 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. And if you want to get in on the conversation and you're already dialed in, just press 1 and hang in there. I'm going to get to you, okay? So I see you guys. First caller, last three digits of your number is 889. You're live. Can I have your name, please?
Emily Compito.
Hey, Emily! I'm so glad you called in. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are your fingers doing? Are your fingers doing the walking again or not?
It's better because I've been using a wrist brace.
Okay.
And I've been staying off my phone texting, you know, as much as possible. I've been staying off. So I'm actually feeling a lot better. Thank you for asking.
Good, good.
You know, I didn't say a lot better because I have a lot of damage in my hand, my fingers.
Mm.
But I'm going to, you know, I really have to make a conscious effort to take breaks and not be constantly, you know, texting, things like that.
That's not from
right.
punching a lip. That's not from punching a liberal, is it, Raquel?
Well, we don't go live with that kind of stuff.
Okay,
Emily. So I know that you've been listening in from the beginning. You've heard our guest a little bit. Do you have any questions or comments for him, please?
Not right now. Thank you.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go ahead and bring in the next caller.
Boy, that's the easiest call I've ever had in my life.
That was easy. Emily, I'm going to go ahead and keep you on live. If you're not talking, just mute. But if you want to join in for something, you know, feel free.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Emily. Okay, I want to go ahead and bring in the next caller. So this is an online caller, so it doesn't have actual numbers.
Well, the number is 1111111 till eternity, but that's okay.
Okay, that's you.
All right. I think that the author, when he's saying that liberalism is a mental disorder, I just got here, so I just read the headline. I'm going to agree with him on that. But when he says that... they hate Trump simply because he's different, or that he goes against their particular policies, or that Pelosi, as you said, is decrepit, that's simplistic. Don't forget that the Democrats had the exact same policy towards immigration 2 years ago as Trump does now. So for them to just ordinarily switch over and to have 20 candidates in the running for the Democratic primary, I think they're doing that because they believe the American people are stupid, and they are, and they keep them entrapped within this particular paradigm of either the Democrats who are going to be elected or the Republicans. It's the damage to America is far more comprehensive than just one party being against the other in an adversarial type of way. There's huge, huge corruption going on in both parties. And in my opinion, they would both sell America down the river for 20 pieces of silver, or in other words, the lobbyists. So it's not just, well, I don't like Trump because he's not presidential. He doesn't act as though Kennedy, the way Kennedy acted when Camelot was around. It's more than that. Deeper.
Sir, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate this call. And I agree with what you're saying, but please understand one thing. I responded to her question about their dislike of Trump. We will get into the country a little bit later because I agree with you. There's a lot going on wrong on both sides. You're very, very right about their policies. You know, like you're seeing videos emerge from Barack Obama, Joe Biden, where they, when they used to be pro, you know, when they wanted border security and when they did not, when they railed against illegal immigration, and now they've changed their tune. One of the reasons they've changed their tune is not because they're more benevolent. One of the reasons they've changed their tune is A, because Donald Trump wants it, but B, as you said, they need new voters. They're losing their voting base, and they're willing to throw this country over and put our national security at risk to allow people to come across the border illegally in the hopes that eventually they can turn them into the voting base that they're losing. See, so I agree with you that there are a lot of other reasons. The only reason I didn't get into those, we're going to get into those later in the show, and her direct question to me was about their hatred of Trump. That's why I kept it there.
Okay, like I said, I just got here, so I didn't hear that particular question. But I overall, and you've touched on something which is somewhat similar to what I had said, but not quite. Yes, they want the voting base, and they don't care if they're immigrants or not. They do want millions and millions more of people voting for them, but that's not their particular, or maybe some of the Democrats' agenda. But when you have the Federal Reserve, for example, having come in 1913
mm-hmm.
and taken over the currency the way that it has,
mm-hmm.
and in which we don't have to have one dime's worth of debt. But
Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad you're aware of it. A lot of people aren't. But the government allows it to continue. So you have to ask yourself, why is this a separate entity from the government claiming that they want to be free from political influence? How come I can't be free from political influence? And why is it that the Federal Reserve has a charter in which they're doing something which is economically not viable at all?
And nobody knows who they are. They're not policed.
Right.
They answer to no one. But one of the things that I found, sir, and I really appreciate your call, because I believe me, I know where you're coming from. And I'm coming from the same place. But one of the things when you get into talk shows on the radio that I found, when you're talking to people, you know, things like the Federal Reserve, the school system, there's all, you know,
right.
There's all kind of elements that run this country, like even getting into globalism and things. It goes over a lot of people's heads, and you have to lay the groundwork to get into those type of discussions. So what ends up happening, you know, I just try and keep it on a level, because what I do with my Nation Savers 2018 on Facebook is just to try and educate the person who's disengaged, the person who's, you know, doesn't really care that much or know that much, just to give them the basics so they have a basic idea of what's going on, why it's going on, and how they can go out and tell somebody else and keep moving this along one heart at a time. So my main focus is socialism, communism, and what is going on about the takeover of the left of this nation. So a lot of what I do deals with liberalism, but believe me, I could sit down and talk to you about the Federal Reserve and every Dewey and everything, you know. Starting all the way up and through the Frankfurt School and everything, you know, all how a socialist communist came in here through NYU and through Columbia University and all this, and the whole movement
right.
of the left that has taken over all of Europe and Gramsci, you know, everybody that brought this thing here, but that's socialism 101. That's on my page.
Yeah, yeah.
So thank you very much.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Before I go, there's
yeah.
one. When you're talking about the educational system, that's one of the methods that the government and people outside
Absolutely.
Of the government are using to dumb us down. Ask yourself this question. I've asked people this number of times. Is there a high school in any of the states of our union in which logic and critical thinking is a formal course? I don't know of any high school that has that.
Not only about what you're saying about dumbing down, but also they're geared to keep you to steer you into certain types of jobs and away from entrepreneurship. See, because geared to keep
colleges
you within a certain economic range, so you're going to be in need of the government. It's the whole
after,
system
yeah,
is
after
insidious.
A while, sure.
So, but I understand your point, and right, and we will get in. Right, that's what they are, and that's what that educational system is. It's geared to roll you off the assembly line and stick you into a certain type of job, and certain people will have the initiative to be entrepreneurs and to take the gamble to reach out for yourself, but it's almost like a bad insurance policy. They're saying, okay, you can go out on your own, but you have to cover your own benefits. So look, if you stick within the framework of the system we've set up and take the type of jobs we want you to take, we'll help you with your medical benefits, we'll help you with this, but we'll put you on a fixed income in which you're not going to be able to rise above the system, and you're always going to need us. And I remember when I left when I went into the music business and left the safety of writing for the New York Daily News and went to the music business, and the Daily News, you know, they had great medical coverage and dental and all this. I gave all that up, and I'm married at the time, and I struck out on my own to manage a recording artist, Dwayne Kerr, Funky Flute Man, D-Man's Music. And I'm on my own. See, so I have to cover my own benefits, and now I have to take my own chances. And a lot of people aren't willing to do that. that educational system is set up to kind of steer you into safety,
well, also,
into the
before,
safety of yourself.
I know, but before I get either replaced by another guest who's calling in, I just want to say this again, and then I'll get off in the next 30 seconds. If you don't have all of what we're going through now could have been easily resolved if the public educational system had logic and critical thinking as part of a course, formal course, because then Americans would think. We would not be influenced by the propaganda and the campaign promises. We would ask questions. And if the people who are running for office couldn't answer those questions, they wouldn't be elected. So that's what I wanted to say. And if we had that, like, again, we wouldn't have the problems we have now, because we would not be sheep. We would actually be independent thinking Americans. And
thank
I'm
you,
done.
Sir. And sir, my retort to you, you're 100% correct, but why would Marxists put in a system for you to think? They don't want you to think. They want you to be the useful idiots that Stalin and Lenin spoke of. Let us take care of you. Let us tell you how to think. And that's why that whole school system is put in there, because if you notice, nobody asks questions. Like, for instance, even right now, and then I'll let you go. Mm-hmm. You're watching what's happening in Venezuela. You've watched the fall of Cuba, which we'll get into. You've watched what happened with Germany and Hitler. You've watched Mao. You've watched all of this around the country. And now you have academia, especially the colleges, a lot of the high schools pushing this socialism. And we're watching Venezuela, once great country, once prosperous country, totally disrupt, totally fall apart in front of our face. Why doesn't some student put their hand up and say, Professor, that doesn't look right? You see, nobody challenges. See, because you're right. They're taught, and they're taught to just not think. And another problem of the parents. See, parents pay $40,000 to $80,000 a year to send kids to school. They send you to public schools, or even to Catholic private school, whatever school they're sending you to. They're sending you, and just letting these educators educate the kids, and kids don't question or challenge things anymore. So it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And then when somebody says, well, why is Bernie Sanders up on a platform instead of a jail cell? Nobody goes, I don't know. You know, they won't ask that question.
Right.
So thank you very much for the call.
Oh, sure. No problem.
Thank you, guys.
Okay,
I do want to
now.
Say that I do see. Oh. Bye, sir. And you're welcome to stay on it as well.
Okay, I'd like to stay on it.
Awesome. I do just want to mention that I really do come from a background of questioning both parties, so it's not that I'm kind of like, you know, well, as long as the GOP says so, I'm for it. You know, that's not never been my political philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in history, I am of the opinion that the Democrats, the left, there is very little. Anything as such as a blue dog Democrat or conservative Democrat. Gary and I talked about this morning a lot. But I do think that the divide is so large because the left has just gone nuts. You know, they want to support. You know, we're not talking about viability on abortion rights, or we're not talking about heartbeat level, you know, restricting some abortion rights. We're talking about New York State passing a law that says anybody, anywhere, anytime can perform an abortion. And it's never criminal because it's been completely removed from the criminal code. And the law including says that it doesn't have to be a doctor or hospital. Third trimester abortion in New York State prior to the new law, there would have to be two physicians present, one to care for the baby just in case it was born alive. And the second doctor was to care for the mother during the partial birth abortion.
Uh-huh.
And that is not the case now. Now you don't even need a doctor. I just think that, you know, that's not the only issue. The immigration issue, you know, as you mentioned a few years ago, the Democrats were all, you know, for protecting the border. I think it's a very serious issue. I said this on my show before. You know, if I get caught committing a crime, you know that I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail. I don't get a pass. So I'm not ready to give anybody a pass. If I commit a crime and get caught, I'm going to jail. If an invader coming, you know, a migrant coming into my country.
Invader is right.
Invader. An invading migrant comes into my country, then I
And they break the law doing it. And they break, because there's a means for Trump not breaking the law. Plenty of legal immigrants are here. And they have become American citizens, and they worked hard to do that, and they're very proud of it. But the idea that these people can just come in and break the law, and we're going to give them free health care, free education, and a free college, you know, is really absurd. So I always like to mention
symptoms.
Something about
not...
the immigration issue, because it kind of freaks me out.
Well,
but we are going go to go to a short break. And when we get back, Gary, but, as we discussed, I'd like you to go into how and when you created your group, Nation Savers, and how's it going, and have you made any movement into, you know, educating the public? So we'll get to that in just about 2.5 minutes, and we'll be right
back.
Thank you.
Mama Pajama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Or what did mama saw? It was against the law. The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned. Papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Take me away, but the press let the story leak. Now when the radical preach come to get me released, we's all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See you, me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See you, me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Imploding the Illusion. I'm your host, Raquel Okai. My special guest tonight is Gary Binford. Gary is a former sports writer for the New York's Newsday and New York's Daily News. He is a devout conservative Christian, and he is on to discuss his awakening to conservatism, and he wants to educate the electorate through his group called Nation Savers. Very exciting. I'm so glad that you're out there to do that. The caller that was on prior to the break, 111, I muted you just because there was just some sound coming from you. I'm going to put you back on live, but I just want you to mute your phone until you're ready to talk, if that's okay with you.
It's not a problem, except for this. My phone doesn't work. It will have that buzz, so I suggest you mute me until I press 1 to come back on again.
Okay, we can do that definitely. Thank you so much. Thank you. For the listeners, for those of you who are listening online, this is a live program, and you can get in on the conversation. If you have a question or comment for our guests, please call in at 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638. 1-888-346-8. And thank you for listening in. Okay, Gary, I'm ready for you.
Okay.
I want to know what the impetus was to you becoming, you know, being a devout Christian, being a conservative, putting yourself out there to discuss these issues with the public about the imminent danger that the left presents to our nation's freedom. And thanks so much. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, I am a Christian, and what that means to me, I'm a follower of Jesus. You must be born again. So I'm born again. I'm a follower of Jesus. And because of that, I'm a conservative. And I didn't start out that way. Black, born in the, raised in the 50s and 60s in Summit, New Jersey. All I knew was the Democratic way and a black way of thinking. So, but I just want to, in lieu of the former caller saying about people don't think, I just like to have the people, as I tell you my journey, just think about just these four things I'm about to say right now. And in the words, I'll use the PG version of a former Hall of Fame football coach, Vince Lombardi, the Green Bay Packers, who used to say, "What the heck is going on here?" So think about this. Women are being advised not to bear children, while men are now believing they can have babies. Communism and socialism is being trumpeted at campaign rallies instead of from jail cells. The Green New Deal, which would plummet us hopefully, you know, this new Green New Deal would plummet us hopelessly into the red instead of lifting us into the black. And you have people decrying babies being ripped out of the arms of their illegal immigrant mothers at the border, while advocating not only for doctors ripping fetuses out of their mothers' wombs, but now for infanticide. And because of things like this, this is why I got involved and took a step out on faith and started my Nation Savers program. My journey started, as a sports writer for the New York Daily, first for Newsday, the Daily News, covering sports, major sports in New York. The Knicks were my beat when Patrick Ewing, it was during his heyday. I went to Summit High School, Ohio University, where I majored in music and journalism. Wasn't sure whether I wanted to be a combination of James Brown and Billy Preston, because I played four instruments, and or whether I wanted to be a journalist. Became a journalist. After a few years, and it was quite a few years because it happened in 1988, the music bug hit me again. And I decided to go back into the music business, and I started managing an up-and-coming jazz flute player, a very funky guy. We put a show together. He'd play. He was wireless. He'd dance. We put some world-class musicians around him, and the guy, Dwayne Kerr, K-E-R-R, was really good, had a 14-year run there. And I thought that I was going to do that the rest of my life. In fact, come flying back from a gig in Orlando, I made a promise to him I'd be his manager for life as long as he wanted me. The thing was, Raquel, I just didn't know God had another plan. I got saved in 1997. I became a Christian, and it just changed my whole life because God said his calling for me was higher. I didn't know what it would be. One door closes, you have to walk, close one door to see what's in front of the next door. So I had to make the toughest decision to me still in my life was to tell Dwayne, and right after his first CD came out in 2005, that I had to go. And it was hard. And
Did you want to go back to journalism, or was it your new road?
No, all I just knew is God needed me out of the music business. See, because what I didn't understand at that point was that when you serve the Most High God, his callings are higher and his thoughts are higher than yours. And all my life I was doing things for me. It was either writing because I liked it and it made money, and the music, I liked it. I loved, putting the band together, doing the recordings, doing the publicity, the marketing, the shows. Show night was great. He played at the 1996 Olympics. In fact, headlined in Atlanta, Apollo Theater. We've been all over the place. It was fun. I enjoyed it, but it was for me, and what God's calling was for me to do something for time and eternity for others. which meant I ended up writing a thesis on Christians and voting. I became a Sunday school teacher. But the main thing that changed was my political persuasion changed, because when I understood where God stood on issues like abortion and same-sex marriage or same-sex issues and other issues, as far as that our Constitution was one of the greatest documents ever created, and to understand that freedom comes from God, and then seeing that there are people trying to take this freedom away, I got involved. And I met a person over television who had a DVD out called Agenda, Grinding America Down. His name was Curtis Bowers. I called to get the DVD, talked to his wife for an hour and a half. She sent me a bunch of them. I started talking to Curtis. We started going back and forth. I sent him my thesis I had written on Christian voting. Through him, I started to understand what I never had any idea about the socialist communist takeover of the United States. That movie came out in the late 90s, and a lot of people watched it, but they're saying this will never happen in our lifetime. Well, it has, and he came out with his second movie, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit. And that's how I got involved in Nation Savers. I was meditating. I didn't want to go back into the work world. I wanted to do something, you know, that God would consider, you know, amenable to Him, to help this country and to help people. And I started Nation Savers on Facebook 2016 to help Curtis promote his video. And then in the process of that, I started, because I'm a writer by trade, I started putting my own posts up, and I noticed people started responding, and then they responded more and more. And my Facebook page, which I had, you know, like about 200 friends, started to grow. My personal page grew to over 5,000. I had more people than any, and then I was getting politicians and people from Fox News and Newsmax and people from all over, all walks of life, all that were really buying into the message, befriending me, and then the Nation Savers just kept growing and growing and growing. And then I said, okay, if you look at why I said my background started in journalism so I could write. Okay, then through music, I learned how to market, how to create a brand, how to do publicity, right, and how to get a product out, because we had, you know, you work your CDs. So I put all of those into Nation Savers 2016, which is now Nation Savers 2018. And the whole general idea, Raquel, is to help enlighten, educate, and get people interested in doing what they can to try and help stem this socialist communist attempt to take over of our nation. And all I tell people is, look at what happened with me. I just started. I took a first step. I found one area of this that I had a passion for, and I just went for it. And you never know where you're going to end up. You never know. I end up doing television shows, a lot of radio shows, speaking engagements. You don't know where it's going to lead, but I guarantee you it'll lead nowhere if you don't take the first step and start. So the page is about pithy statements. I use pictures. I use sayings. I'm now starting to do a little light blogging on there just to let people know what is going on. And what I like to do is rip the curtain off of what you see and look and see what's behind there, like the Wizard of Oz. You know, they're afraid. They're hearing the scene. They finally got to Oz and hear this smoke and all this loud noise. And Toto the dog goes and pulls the curtain back. There's this little old man back there. Well, I like to rip the curtain back, pull the curtain back, so you can see what is going on with the left, what they're doing, why they're doing, and then give ideas about how to stem the tide and stop it. So that's generally what I do, and I post 4 to 5 times a day on both my personal page, Gary Binford, and then the Nation Savers 2018 on Facebook. If you were to go to that page, click like and follow, that would put the posts on your wall, provided I'm not shadow banned, but that's another story. But that would put the posts
on your
wall.
That's really great. I'm so happy to have you out there. I think that the American people do need, you know, us out there, alternate media, because the mainstream, you know, really fails in giving,
you know, and giving both sides of the story. You know, I don't even mind hearing, you know, the other side. I don't have a problem with that. But the little bit and the constant presidential bashing, it's refreshing to hear someone like you talk about, you know, these principles that we're talking about. The American people are talking about around their dining room table, you know, at dinner time. It's not a topic that people are, you know, completely oblivious to. And I think that they are concerned about this big, big division between the Republicans and the Democrats, which I definitely see. What I want to ask you, Gary, is that, you know, you've come out, I've seen you speak, or I've seen one of, you know, your shows before, and we spoke this morning, and you commit to being a devout Christian. And I want to know, what is your response to people, to those out there who would say, well, Gary, that's fine, you know, you could be Christian all you want, but we don't mix religion and politics. That's not the way our country is right now. So you should just remove your Christianity and your conservative viewpoints and just put that behind you and talk about politics, or, you know, they want to debate you, or they don't want to debate you, or they just want to criticize. Let me rephrase. They want to prevent you from using your Christian morals to, you know, make decisions about politics.
I'm so glad you asked me that question, because that is the number one question that I beg people to ask me. I'm dying for people to ask me that question. I so much want to answer that question, because that gets to the bottom of everything. First off, forgetting Christianity at all. In the Constitution, separation of church and state was not separation of state from God. What the founding fathers hit upon, having come from a place where there had been a state church and you were forced into a religion, that in our Constitution says no state can declare a state religion. It was to protect people from the state. In other words, a state of Florida doesn't, you can't make that a Methodist state. You can't make Massachusetts Catholic. You can't make New York Methodist. It has nothing to do with separating people from God, the state from God. Otherwise, God wouldn't be mentioned all through the Constitution. That's number one. Number two, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, a person who's born again and a person who would call himself a Christian, okay, God is political. Everything in life is politics. There's nothing about life that isn't politics, because if God exists, and he does, then where all truth comes from him. See, if it was evolution, then your truth could be your truth and my truth could be my truth. If we are the product of a benevolent creator who put us here to know him and has fallen people to come back through him, through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if he put us here for that purpose, all truth comes from him. It's just like you have a child. If you have a kid, the truth that your child is going to get comes from you as their parents. That is God passing down what he passed down from us, from you to your children. Because, and they're not supposed to listen to anybody else's parents. Like, I remember my parents, I'd want to come in, I'd want to stay out until 8 o'clock at night. And they say, we want you in 7. I said, well, Billy can stay out till 8. And I said, yeah, but they'll say, but Billy's not your parents, and if Billy wants to jump off a bridge, are you going to follow him? See, the bottom line, what I'm trying to say is, what I would tell people is, if there is a creator, and there is, and God, that truth comes from God, and God has a position on everything, everything. He has a position on abortion. He has a position on same-sex marriage. He has a position on sex completely. He has a position on capitalism. He has a position on socialism. He has a position on everything. All truth comes from him. And here's all you need to know. All freedom comes from him. We're free because of God. We were given those freedoms. And the factions that want to war against our freedom, our liberty, and the family, not only are they the enemies of the United States, they're the enemies of God. And unfortunately, those at this time are the Democratic Party and the mainstream media. That gives them cover. The media gives them cover, because without the media giving them cover, you know, like in the old Westerns, like you're in a shootout and you want to get a better position, so you'll yell to one of your boys, "Hey, cover me!" And then you'll run, and you're hoping he's going to fire some bullets so they can't fire back, because you are going to expose yourself. The Democrats are totally exposed. They've totally showed us what they are. It's antithetical to God, and it's anti-American. They know it, and the only reason they get away with it is the media is giving them cover. That's why Donald Trump is going after the media. His job right now is to take on liberalism, the political correctness, and the disingenuous mainstream media. Because until you can level the playing field there, you can never have freedom and liberty, and you can never have even a free country that can vote right, because they're being told, the issues are being skewed, and they're being lied about what the candidate stands for, and they're totally lying about everything he stands for. You know, think of how many times you walk and you talk to people that talk about you talk about the great things he's doing, and they said they haven't heard any of those things. That's because they're listening to, you know, the wrong cable stations and the network news. Everything he's doing is wrong, according to them. See, and that's another reason he got elected the first time, and he'll get elected again, because they keep telling people he's a boob, he can't win, and they buy it and don't go out and vote because they think it's in the bag like they thought the first time for Hillary Clinton.
See, so I think they're shooting themselves in the foot, because it's true. I mean, you can't get through a cable network, TV station, except for maybe Fox, without a Trump bash, you know, and it sort of gets annoying. The American people get sick of it. You know, there has to be two sides of the coin, and I do think the public gets that. Now, before we go, we're going to take a really short break at the top of the hour, and then we're going to get into, for the last 30 minutes, we're going to get into the socialism, communist topic. Which I can't wait. So everybody,
can I say
hang
one
tight.
More thing? Do I have time?
I still have one more question before we go to a break. I do have one more question for you.
Go ahead.
When it comes to the black community, and I think they are a big voting bloc. Of course, they voted in bloc for Barack Obama, Democrats. After Trump was elected, or maybe during the time which Trump was getting during the election 2016. There was the Blexit movement, so that's the blacks exiting the Democrat Party. Candace Owens, very famous, currently famous out there a lot, talking about the black community being snowed kind of by the Democrat Party. I think he gains a lot of traction. What do you think? Do you think the black community is waking up to the Democrat Party? Do you think that they're going to turn out the vote in 2020 for Trump?
Okay, I have to answer this two ways. First off, the thought that there's a black community is a very, very bad thing. You notice you never hear anybody talk about a white community or a community. The fact that the left thinks, and they do, that black people all think alike is very demeaning, because they're basically saying it's a groupthink. And unfortunately, they're right. A lot of people think that people think alike, because there are plantation owners to keep you on the plantation. Unfortunately, they're the pastors in the black churches. And the politicians who nobody made, leaders like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson or whoever they may be, you know, the Democratic Party candidates that run, like, you know, your Andrew Youngs and all your Stacey Abrams, all the people, Kamala Harris, all the people that rise up above the rubble to get into public office, they're all Democrats, so they keep everybody on the plantation. And if you try and escape, like a Kanye West, even open your mouth, or Candace Owens, or Diamond and Silk, or me, or whoever, they run and castigate you. They try and make an example out of you, just like they're trying to make an example out of Donald Trump, so nobody who is not part of the Washington Beltway will ever try and run again. Both sides are trying to make such an example out of him that nobody who they can't control will ever run again. That's the problem with the thinking with black people. But here's the beauty of Donald Trump. Donald Trump creates a major problem for a lot of black people, because 15 years ago, Donald Trump was cool. Donald Trump was hanging out with, you know, Mike Tyson and Don King and Jesse Jackson, and he was hanging out with everybody. You see pictures of him with everybody. Everybody wanted the Donald at their party. Everybody wanted to be around the Donald. Everybody was hanging out with the Donald. The Donald was with the rappers. He was with the actors. He was with the athletes. Now, all of a sudden, he's a racist? See, and they know better. And this is creating a tension within some people because they know what people are saying about this man is not true. And it's making it very, very difficult for them because they want to stay. They want to stay a Democrat, and they want to stay, you know, in that bubble, but they realize this guy is getting the raw end of a deal, and if they think about it, they should know this is exactly what happened to black people. They do the same thing. Black people keep complaining about victimhood, being a raw end of the deal, getting, you know, being not getting a fair break. The very same people who are claiming victimhood are doing the same thing to Donald Trump and not giving him a fair break, and they know better. So I think he's going to get more black votes, but also because of the economy. The economy is going to help. And what he's done for Christians is going to help. You know, because he's put Merry Christmas back. He's keeping God in the country. He's saying this is, you know, although the country was founded on Judeo-Christian values, he's calling it a Christian nation, and he's unabashedly I'm proud to say that, and I think this is resonating with people, with the economy also, and they're seeing that a lot of the people they don't like are going against them. Why are you on the same side with them? So I think he's going to get some, not as much as we like, but I think he's made a dent already, and I think it's going to continue as long as the economy continues.
Excellent. Very interesting. Thanks so much for that. Okay, guys, we're going to take a just under just a little over 4 minutes, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Imploding the Illusion. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Imploding the Illusion. I'm your host, Raquel Occhiali. My special guest tonight is Gary Binford, a former sports writer for New York's Newsday and the Daily News. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. It's been such a fascinating program. You've got a lot of information, and I'm glad to give you the platform to express it. So this last portion of the program, I'd like you to go into, I think, which is one of your specialties, something that you delved into in your research. And what you've told me is that we've got a real problem with the liberal communism, socialism, you know, as you said, whatever they want to call it, the idea that the government takes over the means of production and dictates your life. It's always, in history, we know that's always failed. And more than just failed, it's been the cause of murderous dictators in history. And I'm sure you'll talk about that a little bit. So welcome back, everyone. Thanks for listening in. If you are listening in online and you do have a question or comment for the guest, please call in at 646-787-8638. Again, that's 646-787-8638 and dial 1. And that'll let me know that you're there. And also, if you're on the call, if you're on the line right now and you have a question or comment for the guest, please dial 1. I'll get you in as soon as possible. So thanks again for having this extended topic to the bottom of the hour. I appreciate you, Gary, for being here tonight.
Thanks for having me, Raquel. This is what I live for. This is all I do, folks. This is all I do. I'm not in the world anymore as far as working. I'm retired, you know, and I did not retire. I retired on a fixed income. I just thought this was so important that I decided to just take this on because I understand what's going on. And once you understand, and if you love, like I love God and I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we have been blessed to live in a free country, a freedom that comes from God, and I do not want to give that up because I know the Bible. I don't want to be in Babylon or our equivalent of Babylon. I don't want to be in Egypt or our equivalent of Egypt. I don't want God to have to pull a Red Sea experience for the United States. So that's why I do. Before I get into the communism thing, I do want to say one thing, Raquel, about because you asked me about talking to people, and this is something we talked about this morning. I would encourage everybody within the sound of my voice to understand we have truth on our side. They don't. So instead of answering their questions, what we really need to do is put them on the defensive. We need to make them defend their policies. I make people defend socialism and communism. I make them defend evolution. I make them defend, you know, the Green New Deal or defend infanticide or defend abortion or defend globalism. You know, make them defend things that are indefensible, and as they start talking, then you can see where you can break down their argument and hopefully get them through their illogical thought to realize they sound illogical, and hopefully it'll change their way. So everybody buckle up, put your seatbelt on, and put your chin strap on and your helmet, because this isn't fun stuff. From the film, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, I just want to read this one thing, and this will tell you all you need to know. This is Curtis Bowers, who produced these films, and he went around, was going around the country to Tea Party and churches and civic organizations speaking about the movies. And here's a quote. We showed the film Agenda. Then afterwards, as I was answering questions, a man stood up and said, I want to congratulate you on your research and how you found all the socialist communist influences that have changed America. My hat's off to you. And I said, thank you, sir. But then he stopped, and I could tell something was coming. He said, I want to tell you something. I'm a professor at this college. I am a communist, and we will win because we're taking all your children. And then he got up and walked out. A woman in the front row who was crying said, how could he be at our little community college? And I said, ma'am, he's in every school in America. Here's what happened. The communists from Europe, they've always had a plan to infiltrate the West. And you see they've been very successful in places. Their attempt to infiltrate the United States initially was met with great resistance because we were too much of a prosperous nation to convince us we were that poor to overthrow the government. So what they did, they changed their tactic, and they went from straight Marxism, you know, which was started by Karl Marx, to cultural Marxism. And cultural Marxism is simply stated, instead of trying to overthrow a nation by revolution, we'll overthrow it by changing the way the people think within the culture. In other words, we're going to change the culture in a society as a means to change the way people thought. And they decided the way to do this was to get the disenfranchised and get marginalized groups. Now, if this is starting to sound like the Democratic Party, it should. They started to get marginalized groups, blacks, feminists, women, homosexuals, students, anybody, you know, now legal immigrants, any marginalized groups, they were going to get them together and focus on changing the language and the culture through political correctness. And that's what you're seeing, all this PC, that's nothing but cultural Marxism. In other words, they were going to focus on left-wing thinking and ideologies are tolerant. We're being tolerant, while if you think right, your ideologies, you're being narrow, you're intolerant, and you're evil. It's the brain trust of a guy named Antonio Gramsci, who was a Marxist out of Italy. He was from the Frankfurt School, which was in Europe, and they brought it here in 1933 to Columbia University. And through the university system, through the Ivy Leagues, right, they started infiltrating communism into the school system, Marxism into the school system, and between your radicals, your Bill Ayer types that want to blow stuff up, and between the activists, the Barack Obama, Saul Alinsky types that worked as community organizers, you know, ACORN, community organizers, Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, you know, organizing the unions and getting the labor unions behind him and organizing people on the streets, between that movement, between academia, between Hollywood, and between taking control of the news media, they've been able to twist this country away from its constitutional roots, basically without us even knowing it. It's almost like the boiling frog theory, that, you know, you put a frog in boiling water, he'll jump out, but if you put him in and just move it, you know, a degree or two, you know, every 10 minutes, he'll boil comfortably. We've been boiling far too comfortably. And the people who have been shouting the trumpets, Raquel, from the rooftops, really didn't get much traction until Bernie Sanders showed up. And when they saw all their kids, these parents, all their kids, they were paying between like $30,000 and $60,000 a year to send them to college, looking like, you know, standing up like good little socialists. And you know, when you're seeing, you know, Bolshevik Bill de Blasio, our mayor over here in New York, and you're seeing some people who are just straight out communists, and you're just seeing they're coming out, ripping off their masks and showing you who they are and actually saying this is the form of government they want, and they're all, including Joe Biden, sliding farther and farther to the left, you can see we have a very, very serious problem.
Yeah, and I think that prediction really comes through with the party, as you said a couple of minutes ago. Isn't that what they're doing right now? And they absolutely have done that, you know, as you said, through Hollywood, in politics, and, you know, that political correctness, and then all of the taking all types of group and isolating them. I wanted to kind of go back to something that you said at the last segment, and that's that it's not that I should be discussing what Black America needs or wants, but what do Americans want as a whole? That, you know, it's that identity politics. You know, so I do identify with that because, you know, I'm Cuban Puerto Rican. And sometimes I'm first generation American. And sometimes, you know, people say to me, well, aren't you Hispanic? Aren't you, you know, how could you not be a Democrat? You know, and it's sort of like I'm actually an American.
You know, so I don't, you know, I love the Constitution. You know, as I told you this morning, my father, you know, was in communist Cuba and he escaped communist Cuba. And he did get political asylum under JFK. But when he did come to this country, he loved America so much. Really a harsh conservative he was. And he made a replica of the United States Constitution. It's an exact replica. And he framed it. And he put it on, like, the living room wall. And that was the United States Constitution. He collected art, a lot of American art also. But that U.S. Constitution is something that stood out in my head. And that's, you know, that's legal immigration, by the way, I just want to say. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he told me to kiss the ground I walk on because I live in a free country and I'm American. And that was something that, you know, he impressed upon me. We live in America where we speak English. He impressed upon me to speak English. He came from a place that really saw communism. He saw communism eye to eye, and he ran from it. You know, it was horrific. Death, stealing of property under gunpoint, death squads, really terrible stuff under communism.
I want to say this because I want everybody to know exactly what Raquel said right now. She did not intentionally segue into what I'm about to tell you. She doesn't know this. She's about to hear it for the first time. But listen to what she just said about her father coming to Cuba, okay? I'm going to tell you about a guy named Augustin Blackquez, who was born and raised in Cuba. And the DVD that I'm asking you to check out, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, you can go to the agendadocumentary.com, agendadocumentary.com website, and you can see the trailers to both of these movies about the communist takeover of America. This movie starts, Raquel, you ready for this? It's going to knock your socks off. This movie starts with Augustin Blackquez saying this: I grew up in Cuba, and I never thought that Cuba would become a communist country. Many people at the time warned Cuba that was what was going on, was a communist takeover. But we say, no, that won't happen here. Nobody would dream that. And I see it, the same things repeating in the United States here now. And I feel very uncomfortable about it because I know what the end of it is. And I know that after a while, there will be nothing the American people will be able to do. They will lose everything, everything they own, everything they know. And don't even think that you will be safe inside your own house, because you won't be. They will come and get you wherever you are. They will take your arms. They will take everything in your way of life, everything. And you will just be a pawn of the estate. I don't want to live through this again, but I'm living it. Every day is one more provision, one more thing that you cannot say. See, and that's what I was saying about cultural Marxism. They're trying to change the language through political correctness, trying to silence speech on the right, which is infringing of the First Amendment, okay, because by making you silent, then they can make the move they need to make on our Constitution. This whole thing, everybody, is about collapsing our Constitution. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. We're ruled by law. I'll give you an example of what that means. It's kind of important. If you're back in the Western days and somebody accused you of stealing a horse and the town said you were guilty and they said string him up, so they get a rope and they're stringing you up, okay? That is a democracy. That was majority rule. Under a constitutional republic, they're getting ready to string you up, but the marshal comes and says, you can't do that. And they go, why not? And he says, because this is the town of law. And under law, he's innocent till he's proven guilty. He has to have a fair trial. And the trial has to be, if you want to kill him, unanimous. So they don't get a unanimous conviction. In fact, they get nobody. Once they hear all the evidence, they realize he's innocent, they let him go. They want to collapse our Constitution. Because you can't have socialism where you have freedom and the right to arms, the Second Amendment. The first thing Karl Marx did, just you're in socialism, father socialism, you have to neuter God. You've got to get God out of the picture. You've got to get people to turn on the church. If you can't do that, you're going to be in trouble, because people will either look to a benevolent God for their sustenance or they'll look to government, but not both at the same time. So if you get God out of the picture in a country, then the government can write and replace them, but you've got to get rid of the guns. Because if you don't get rid of the guns, when people find out they've been snookered, when they found out you've been hoodwinked, when they found out this is socialism, Marxism, communism, I don't like it, and they want to revolt, which under the Second Amendment they're allowed to do, because that's what that amendment is about, to be able to protect us, to have arms in case, you know, the government becomes tyrannical, right? They got to take your arms. And that's what Hitler did. That's what all these despots do. They get their guns so you can't fight back. And if you notice, the left, the Democrats, what are they trying to do? They're trying to get rid of the First Amendment and the Second Amendment. Why? Because they can't usher in socialism unless they can get us to overthrow the Constitution. So how do they do that? Every time something comes up, Colin Kaepernick, Ferguson, Occupy Wall Street, Charlottesville, we can go on and on. Whatever comes up, some person has a beef, the Marxists come in, Uncle George Soros brings his money and his agitators and his advocates in there. They make it a national issue, and what started out about police brutality or what started out about this side has a problem with that side, it always now, if you notice, gets around to racist white men, founding fathers that wrote the Constitution, so they're illegitimate like Trump. We have to overthrow the Constitution, and that's why everything comes back, because that's piece of paper stands between us and socialism. And as we talked about today, hate to tell you, Democrats, there's no such thing as a moderate anymore, because that party has gone so far to the left that if you're a moderate, you either have to step off or you're going to get run over by this communist train. One more thing from the movie. Now the Marxists, through the unions, have completely taken over the higher reaches of the Democratic Party. You've got all these loyal Democrats out there, good patriotic people who still think they're voting for Harry Truman and JFK. Look, by the standards of today, do you think Harry Truman or JFK would have a chance in today's Democratic Party? Those guys today probably would be in the Tea Party. Yet their party is now run by communists, and all these loyal Democrats all over the country are still voting on party lines and basically voting for Marxists and anti-Americans because they do not understand their party has been taken over. That movie was made 5 years ago. If you can't see it now, you'll never see it. They're telling you exactly who you, exactly who they are. They're telling you they're anti-American. They belong in jail, frankly. But this is what is running the Democratic
Party. It was a, I guess back in the 50s, 60s, JFK days. I mean, it was a bad word, but it was a bad word for a good reason.
Absolutely.
Because it wasn't. It is absolutely opposite of what our principles, our constitutional republic has, you know, stands for, and that's really protecting the minority, just as you explained it. I'm so glad that you talked about that a little bit. And the idea is that our constitution protects us against mob rule. So if a bunch of people unreasonably believe that you did something and you didn't, and a mob rule can do that, we see that with the media. And mob rule can do that, and you're innocent. Our Constitution says, no. You know, like you said, a marshal, a sheriff, somebody steps in and says, you can't do that, because they get to have due process. They get to have notice and a hearing before an impartial judge and a jury of their peers. It's very important. It's a real big difference, very important to note. Okay, so we are getting close to the end of the show, Gary, and I have a surprise for you. I spring it on every single one of my guests. Okay. Just to let you know, it's not just you. But I think you're going to like this. Okay. I think you are going to really like this. So at the end of the program, I sing, and anybody that's on the line is welcome to sing along also. We sing with the West Point Glee Club, the national anthem.
Go for it.
You ready for that? Okay. Awesome. Some people are like, oh, I don't know how to sing.
I'm standing.
One time I had a guest who was a veteran, and before I got to the point that, you know, I told them we were going to sing the national anthem, and before I got to the point that we were going to sing along with, you know, a version of the Glee Club, she belted out the national anthem. It was so beautiful, and she sang it so nicely that I it had tears in my eyes.
great.
Now, as a Christian, I don't lie, so I just want you to know I have actually left the war room where I have stuff all over the wall like a draft board. That's why I was able to plug that information in. It's taped all over my wall. I have left the war room and come into the living room where my American flag is. I have a full-size American flag in my living room right next to my Donald Trump picture.
Oh, I love it.
So now you can go. And my Make America Great hat, Studley Pretz, Presley Stutz from the Tea Party in Greensboro, South Carolina, sent me a Make America Great hat. It's great. So I'm standing right by Make America Great, my American flag, picture of Donald Trump. On the other wall, the picture of Jesus. Let's go for it.
Okay, we got about a minute left. So what I'd like you to do, Gary, is just let the listeners know where they can find you on social media or websites.
Okay, Gary Binford. That is BINFORD. That's my personal Facebook page. You can check stuff out there and befriend me. My Nation Savers 2018 is on Facebook, Nation Savers 2018. Check out the page. If you like what you see, click like and follow on the homepage, and the post should land on your Facebook page. And if you like it, share, because this is how we can, you know, take this country back one heart at a time. The more we pass along pertinent information, the more people it can reach. And this is what I do. This is all I do, and it's all for the love of God and love of country. And thank you very much for having me on.
No, you're so welcome, and thanks for coming on.
Dawn's lights breaking
really
this morning over the grounds of the United States Military Academy at West Point, New York, a most solemn place today, Veterans Day, as the country remembers the countless thousands who sacrificed for our freedoms, so many of whom were schooled on these very grounds. 90 years ago, President Woodrow Wilson deemed November 11th Armistice Day, celebrating peace, hearkening to the end of World War I, which had drawn to an official close at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, a peace that remains sought after still. So please join us here on SportsCenter as we begin a very special Veterans Day.
Color, lock time, hard. Color, ready, halt. Color, present, on.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars furrowed the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly
everybody. We've got about 20 seconds. So God bless you all. God bless America. And I'll see you all next week, same time, same day, Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Gary. And this show is also archived, blogtalkradio.com/ROARNOB. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Raquel.
Good night, Raquel. Gary
Hi,
here. Thank you. God bless
Bye,
you.
Gary.
And God bless America.
Thank you so much.